Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim that her hard service has come to an end. Those words from the prophet Isaiah, written to his people suffering in exile in Babylon, seem no less urgent now than they did when they were written 2,700 years ago. If ever there were a world in need of comfort, we are that world. Look at the world around us. Sometimes our world is hardly recognizable from what it was even 10 years ago. The world is fraught with brokenness. Jews and Palestinians in renewed conflict because of a political promise made on a campaign trail that has the entire world except Israel stacked against us. ISIS, Boko Haram, missile testing in North Korea. Russia asserting itself on the world stage in ways that pose real and present danger to liberal democratic institutions around the globe. Genocide in Syria and Yemen. Political divisions at home that have reached toxic levels. Racial conflicts and renewed energy in the white supremacy movement, emboldened in part from the very halls of power. An unmasking of sexual abuses by those with power and authority in various sectors within our culture. 24 million around the globe enslaved as sex workers. Cuts to programs that help those in need on the margins in order to line the pockets of those with wealth and power. And the list goes on and on. It sometimes feels like it's difficult to get up in the morning and turn on the news. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. If ever there were a time when we needed God's comfort, that time is now. As the Reverend Michael Brown of Marble Collegiate Church in New York City says, according to Isaiah, frequently the comfort we need arrives not so much through philosophy or politics or even theology, but through incarnation. Comfort comes when someone brings it to us. This idea of incarnation is at the very heart of the season of Advent and Christmas. This time of year, our focus is on incarnation, enfleshment, the flesh and bone of God with us and as us. Incarnation is also at the very heart of Anglican theology, which is our Episcopal Church's grounding. The solution of the problems of our world lie not in some cosmic God pulling strings from outside the created order, but God's very self inserted in the person of Jesus directly into this often messy yet beautiful world. The comfort that Isaiah speaks of and yearns for as he prophesies to his captive people is that the comfort will come through us. And isn't this true? When you and I face the vicissitudes of life, the deep struggles of the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of identity brought on by age or illness, isn't it true that comfort comes from the neighbor who drops a card in the mail with a simple note of thoughts and prayers? Doesn't that comfort come from some thoughtful person who takes the time to bake a casserole or pick up the phone or drop by for a cup of coffee? I want to share with you a story of something that happened to me years ago when I worked as the minister of aging and spirituality at St. Paul and St. James Church in New Haven. One of my primary responsibilities was to care for the elderly in the parish. There was one woman named Mary Louise, which actually isn't her real name, that I cared for. The church actually had the power of attorney for her and her affairs. She could not take care of herself. And even though we worked really hard to help her remain in her apartment, she ultimately had to move to a nursing home. The day she moved was around this time of year. because I remember putting up Christmas decorations on her windowsill in her new room at the nursing home just before she arrived there. She was a very difficult person and seriously addicted to opioid drugs. But at 88 with dementia, I wondered if that really mattered, whether she was addicted or not. I would visit her at least twice a week and became her main support system, as I was also responsible for all aspects of her care since there was no family whatsoever. She would shout out all the time in my presence, "God, answer my prayers. Please, God," she would cry. "Don't you hear me? Please answer my prayers. Bring me some comfort and relief." One day I was driving back home to Storrs from New Haven after I had heard her go on and on in distress, asking God to answer her prayers. And so I myself got very angry with God as I was driving. And I remember yelling out loud in the car as I drove up I-91 in a snowstorm, "Why don't you hear Mary Louise? She is crying out to you. Why don't you answer her prayers?" I have to say, it actually felt cathartic to let all that out and yell at the top of my lungs in the car. And then I became very quiet and very still. And in that stillness, about 5 minutes later, I kid you not, I heard the voice of God. And God said plainly and clearly back to me, "I have answered her prayers. You are my answer to her prayers." Once I heard that, I instantly broke down in the car. As I drove, the tears kept coming and coming, and I knew then and there that the prayers that she uttered were being answered. I was the one God had sent to bring her that comfort that she sought and needed. This is the promise of our faith. The comfort won't come from some political solution or military intervention or some wall to put up to offer some sense of security. The comfort this world seeks comes from me and from you. It comes in those small things done with great love. God does not promise us pain will not come. We are not told that we can avoid the struggles, the illness, the aging, the brokenness, and the losses of this life. None of us gets out of this life without pain and sadness, disappointment and hurt. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. In the midst of our pain, God comes to us with comfort, but it always comes through the people that God sends. It is in the midst of our neighbor's pain, God brings his comfort and solace through us. The comfort of God, the answer to the deep yearning and the prayers, doesn't come in some cosmic lightning bolt. It comes through incarnation, the enfleshment. The flesh and bone answer of God is you and it is me. Advent and Christmas is the time of year when we're reminded that the work of Jesus Christ continues, but it is through our hands, our voices, our hearts reaching outward to bring the comfort of God to a broken world. Let us pray. O God, who lovingly comes to our world through the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you will give us the strength to be the flesh and bone of your healing and hopeful love.